run me around since about 5 a.m., and I was having eye trouble to where I couldn't see getting to work on time. I had just got home, stripped off my camo, put up the shotgun, and started the kettle for coffee when my friend Ed Brennan called. The call changed quite a bit, then and in years to follow. Ed is a large, loud man, but on the phone that morning, his voice was a murmur, telling a story I didn't want to know the end to. I got dressed in 3 minutes, and with my coffee sloshing out of its cup, drove down to Fitzmaurice. The Brennans live on a small farm outside Fitzmaurice, which you may know is the Holbrook County seat. Liz Brennan is the town's general practitioner, and Ed owns a high-end construction business specializing in timber frame buildings. He has a few skilled guys, but he'll take his workers from anywhere, rehab placements, whatever, as long as they can work. The Brennans have 2 young kids, a boy and a girl. Ed and I went to high school together, 15, 20 years ago. I'm close with their family. They've helped me through troubles. And I might as well say that if you knew Liz, you'd understand how I could love her with the purity of a dog's love and be in no better position than a dog to express how I felt and have no more chance of pursuing her romantically than a dog would have. She's my best friend's wife. I'm telling everything else, so I might as well admit that, too. My life was much simpler when I had my own wife, but I scattered her ashes out west, and she's hard to reach. I pulled into the yard of the White farmhouse. Ed stood in the doorway. He gave me a small wave and moved inside. On the porch, one of Ed's guys sat slumped in a chair. Duct tape held the toes of his boots shut. A baseball cap hid his face, but that didn't matter. It was Kevin O'Keefe, the fellow who lived with his girlfriend Penny in a trailer on Andy Swales' land up to Maiden's Grove. I wasn't sure whether he was asleep or awake until I took the stairs. He shifted and tried to stand. I waved him back and pulled a chair around to face him.
"Are we doing this here?" he asked.
"Not sure what it is we're doing," I said.
"Ed didn't say?
Why don't you tell me?" Kev glanced toward Ed's front door, then back at me.
"You're not taking me in?"
"What is this all about, and we'll go from there." I had no place to hold Kevin in my tiny station, not for longer than an hour or so. There was no doubt that this, if it was anything, would be kicked over to the county. O'Keefe lowered his voice.
"I didn't kill her."
He wore a t-shirt, and I looked at his arms for scratches and bruises. His sunburned skin was scraped and lined, nothing fresh, though. "But she's gone," I said.
"Yeah. I got home 2 nights ago. The place is busted."
"About what time did you get in that night?"
"I don't know, 2:30. There's some, Jesus, oh God."
He hid his face in his hands, which were cracked and dry, then looked up again.
"But I don't notice what I should have. I was drunk. I passed out. I guessed she was mad about something, me staying out late or what, and then she'd be back. No shape to go after her. Next morning, still no Penny. I called her phone, I called her sister, called her folks, no nothing. Looking around, you know, I should have seen. I went to work. Come night, still no Penny. Her car ain't moved. I made some more calls and went out hitting the bars. Binghamton, Endicott, down to Fitzmaurice. Nobody's seen her."
He raised a hand to pick at his eye. The hand trembled. "Okay, now, what about this? You said you shot somebody? That can't be right, right?" Ed had told me this part of the story over the phone, without details. It didn't fit. No gunshot wounds had come into Holbrook or in neighboring counties. Likely this was a bad dream, or a delirium from too much or too little alcohol in the blood. Kevin gave no reply, and then said,
"I shouldn't have said that. Forget that, I'm wrong. I was drunk. I didn't shoot nobody."
"Okay, so where was it that you didn't shoot anybody?" Kevin sighed and raised his eyes to the heavens. "Where's the gun?" I said. He put an index finger to his temple and pretended to blow his brains out. It was not for my benefit, I don't think. Our eyes met, and I knew that something was wrong with Kevin and with the little place where our lives met. "Tell me where you've been, Kev. You've got to tell me right now.
Promise me you'll go..."